There's a bill before the legislature that would help improve virtual learning in Wyoming schools, especially in rural areas, where hiring teachers in specialized fields can be hard. Districts across the state are already experimenting with online courses, but the Department of Education wants to bring this opportunity to all students. Wyoming Public Radio's education reporter Tennessee Watson went to Rock Springs to visit a school that's blazing ahead.
Sharon Seaton teaches up to 10 different classes simultaneously. That means from advanced math to mixing paint for a diorama to troubleshooting computer problems, she's constantly fielding questions.
Okay, I got confused again.
Okay, so based on the kaleidogram organization by genetic information, how does the human-monkey relationship compare to the duck-chicken? So,
what's the duck-chicken?
Well, on your paper, when you did the analysis, How many sequences were the same between the duck and the chicken, and how many were the same between the
I follow Renee back to her desk to understand what this duck-chicken business is all about.
I think it's the chicken and the duck that have more differences.
The lesson is asking her to use genetic data to challenge surface assumptions.
They might have more, like, similarities, physical appearances, but...
Renee failed the traditional biology class at Rock Springs High School, but here at Black Butte, an alternative high school, she is thriving in Ms. Seaton's online science classes.
It's more of an independent thing. We just go on to our class, sign in, and then these are all the stuff we have to fill out and make sure we have done. We have specific due dates.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
And it seems to be having a positive impact. Principal Mike Maloney gathers his teachers for some cookies in the break room to celebrate the announcement from the state that the school's graduation rates went up 20%.
Graduation rate.
I know, I heard.
That is awesome.
It's a change he attributes in part to the increase in online learning opportunities, because
you get kids that can suddenly start to study things that they're more interested in. So kids have voice and choice. And then I just think it's that self-paced aspect and really an individualized approach to learning.
Each student borrows a laptop from Ms. Seaton at the start of the class. They log in to Moodle. That's an online learning platform, one of many used by teachers across the state. The virtual education bill provides financial support to create a unified system that would make it possible for teachers across the state to share the online courses they create.
Okay, so see when I click on Solid? See how the molecules are?
Mm-hmm. Ms. Seaton's showing a student what happens to molecules when matter goes from solid to liquid to gas.
Like.
Instead of traditional lectures, students follow links to videos and online simulations.
Here's the solid, then here's the liquid, and then here's the gas.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
As you can hear, the idea of students following their passions at their own pace is not as simple as just getting kids on computers. Effective virtual learning requires support and well-trained teachers, like Ms. Seaton.
How do you keep up with all of this?
Well, I'm a 22-year veteran, okay? So I have, since 2001, had some type of online presence.
But it still took her 6 or 7 months to prepare the first 10 classes. Her plan is to have 15 available next year and then 20 by 2018. She surveys kids to know what new courses to design.
Botany will come online next year. I had a kid who was interested in bugs, so we built an entomology class for him. We have kids who are interested in genetics
and
geology.
And the list goes on. She caters the courses to the interests of her students, but that doesn't mean they all love online learning. I head downstairs to Ms. Colson's classroom, where 6 students are sitting at laptops. No hands-on activities are happening today. The lessons and assessments are all right there on the screen. And 9th grader Bree is not a fan.
I don't really understand how to do anything with a computer, because I don't have one, and I am the normal paper-pencil type of person. Don't like new stuff.
And Ms. Colson agrees. The transition to online learning can be hard.
I saw last semester I had more Fs than I've had in my 15 years of teaching.
Now that she knows the programs, she says things are going a lot smoother. And that's another goal of the virtual education bill that Ms. Seaton says is critical.
We need the professional development to teach teachers how to leverage the technology. The second thing is you have to have a real big understanding of the standards.
That's to make sure individualized learning plans still meet content and performance requirements. One kid told me it's important to maintain a balance between computer time and face-to-face teaching. For Ms. Seaton, technology allows her to use that precious face-to-face time to do something more transformative than just deliver content.
The kids don't need me. I actually am obsolete because they can Google everything they need to know. But to be able to take that information and apply it, work collaboratively, problem solve, that to me now is my job.
Messine's classroom represents what's possible. She'd like to see districts have the support they need to make virtual education an option for every kid in Wyoming. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.